Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask of you understanding, even in the word of the Lord this morning, as we stand in the message of the Lord, we have, O Lord, an expectation. And we want you to bless our hearts, Lord. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, let that light shine that you promised that comes with the entrance of your word. Let it shine in our hearts this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, and let the name of the Lord be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we have been in the book of Hebrews, and I want to continue here today. And I remember last week, I said I was going to skip the chapter 5. I was going to skip that chapter. And so we went right into chapter 6. And I said, when I get to chapter 7, I'll come back and do chapters 5 and 7 together. And that's today. So today, I will be in Hebrews chapters 5 and 7. And we are going to be talking mostly about the Christ. You know, I love to preach about Christ. Amen. Amen, people. Amen. Well, everything is all about the Lord, actually. For without him was nothing made that was made. And by him all things consist. And he is the one that has the preeminence. And he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I love to preach about him. So tonight, this morning, I'm going to be speaking about the Christ. You know, and I'm going to be talking about the triple crown ministry. The triple crown ministry, mostly for the Christ, but we'll see how it applies to our lives. Prophet, priest, and king. So the triple crown ministry, prophet, priest, and king. Now I have a long text to read, so I'm going to read through and maybe pause and say a few things and then come back and dig into the message. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. Now, he says, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, even as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. You're going to have to catch up with me on this thing. I'm now in verse 6. And he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to them that believe him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. So that's the first 11 verses of chapter 5, and then I'm going to skip to chapter 7. Now, we did the interleaving verses of chapters 5 and chapter 6 last week, but this one goes right with chapter 7. So, now, let me go back to verse 6 of chapter 5. You see, Christ glorified not himself, he did not take, glorified himself to be called an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And also, thou art a priest forever. after the order of Melchizedek. Well, what is the order of Melchizedek? In the earlier part of the Hebrew series, we've talked about the priesthood and all of that and so on, and that we ourselves are called into a new priesthood, not like the old priesthood, you know, in those days and so forth. But we, you know, God has called us into something new. But we didn't really go into the order of the priesthood that we are in now. And so we're going to go into that today. But we are going to introduce it by Christ. Remember, Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So Christ, you might say, is the blueprint of what we should be. So Christ was called by God, ordained as a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, let's find out about this Melchizedek. Go to chapter 7 and verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, that's in Genesis chapter 14, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first, being by interpretation, so he's going to interpret what Melchizedek means, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, or king of Shalom, which is the king of peace, without father, so let's introduce this Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Hallelujah. Well, you know, let's stop right there and think about it for a minute. The only person that we know that was without father and without mother in that Old Testament, as we know it, was Adam. Because Adam was the son of God, if you look at it that way. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, we're told that Adam was the son of God because he was created directly by God. You know, when they did the genealogy of Jesus Christ backwards, came to Adam, they couldn't say anything about, you know, that he was the son of anybody. So, well, he was the son of God. Because there's no other way to put it. But we know that Adam didn't have a father and did not have a mother. You know, and same thing for Eve. But everybody else had some father and some mother. But we know that Adam and Eve were long since gone by the time of Abraham. So this figure that met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings in Genesis chapter 14, nobody knew too much about him then. It was just very brief. It just appeared from nowhere and said a few things, and that was it. Until this chapter here, and it begins to tell us a little more about him. He said, well, this man was without father, was without mother, and without descent. So no genealogy that we can even find anywhere. Having neither beginning of days. Amen, somebody? Everybody has beginning of days, folks. And everybody has some end of life. But this one has neither beginning of days nor end of life. But he is like unto the Son of God. So right there you see that the Son of God himself, you know, because he's been compared with somebody that has no beginning and no ending. So we see the Son of God has no beginning or no ending. Hallelujah. And he abided a priest continually. You say, where is that? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 14. I did give the reference, but I just want to go back there and read it, just so you know that it was really there. And, you know, there was a story that happened in Genesis 13 and so forth, and Lot got captured and all that stuff. And Lot and Abraham got separated, you know, and then Abraham was his name then, and then went after, you know, in chapter 14, went after to get him back and so on. When he got him back and he came back, and I'm going to read from verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out and meet him, after he was returning from the slaughter of the Chalodomer and of the kings that were with him, and at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's day. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And then Abraham gave him tithes of all. Now, Abraham, we don't know that, what this man was, but he was recognized as priest. And nothing much was said about him until this point, but he just appeared on the scene. Abraham recognized that there was something special about him. So Abraham gave him tithes, we see that this was the beginning of tithing. Up to this point, we haven't heard that anybody gave tithes to anybody. At this point in time, we don't even know. I mean, Abraham didn't know anything about Moses. he didn't know anything about the law of tithing and all of these things and so forth. But Abraham, by revelation, he gave tithes. Now, remember, he didn't say he paid, but he gave. It was not a levy. There was nothing levied against him. He gave tithes. Hallelujah. And this was many, many years before the law. So for those two people today say, "Well, we don't need to give tithes because the law has removed that." Well, this was before the law. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But that's not my subject. I'm not on the subject of tithing today. So I'm just bringing that out. But we go back to Hebrews chapter 7. And continue about this Melchizedek. I just read that one little script just to show you where this Melchizedek appeared to Abraham that one time. But let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7 and pick up the description that we have of this Melchizedek. We are told that he is without father, he is without mother. So, all of a sudden we begin to think that this Melchizedek, and before you say that, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, think again. Who else is besides God that we know that wasn't Abraham? It wasn't Adam and it wasn't Eve because they were dead. Who else could be without father and without mother? Well, it could either be the Lord himself, or it could have been in the form of the Son of God, which is what he says here. He said, "But he's made like the Son of God, and he abided a priest forever." So I dare say that, Jesus was talking about this. Amen? You say Jesus was talking about this? Well, yes. You'll have to turn to John chapter 8 and read the whole chapter, but I can't read it all. But Jesus began to tell them in this John chapter 8 a very interesting thing. He told them, John chapter 8, verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad." How many of you can say amen? That was Jesus speaking to the Jews and all these people. And then the Jews said unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old. How could you possibly have seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily." And I like that. When he says that twice like that. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! There's only one other person that can use that name, "I am." And he appeared to Moses in the flaming fire. Moses wanted to know his name. And he said, "Tell me, who shall I say sent me?" He said, "I am that I am." Praise the Lord. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. When Jesus said this, they took up stones to kill him. Because they said, this is way beyond blasphemy. This is too much. We can't take any of this, So they took up stones to kill him and so forth. But Jesus told them the truth. Hallelujah. You say, well, Jesus met Abraham. Why, sure. We are told here in Hebrews chapter 7 that this man Melchizedek, you know, he was in the form of the Son of God. Could have been a form of Christ. Because Christ is saying right here, Abraham saw me once and he was happy. Hallelujah! Oh, no, there's no way that Abraham could have seen you. Well, it's right here in the scriptures. Before Abraham was, I am that I am. If you want to complete that, praise the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord is mysterious that way. Jesus is the Son of God. Make no mistake about that. You know, who that anybody that denies that Christ is the Son of God doesn't understand who Christ is. Amen? Amen. That is the order that God chose. That is the way that he chose to bring forth the sons of God. He chose to reproduce himself in man. But they couldn't do it. You know, so he chose to bring the second Adam, which was Christ. Hallelujah! And he is going to do it. Because he did it. Hallelujah. And then all the others that will come after him, just like he is, they will be just like that. Amen. Now, so we may not look exactly like that yet, but we're coming there. So let's go back. I get excited when I get into this topic. But let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Now, you say, well, that's all knowledge and so forth like that. And what does that really do for you? I'll tell you what it does for you. What it does for us is that we've been talking about spiritual growth and so forth, and we were talking about it last week. And all that we talked about in our review this morning. A lot of spiritual growth, you know, hinges on our knowledge of Christ and who he is. In fact, you know, the goal, you know, is for us, God, to reveal Christ fully in us. Now, listen to this. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, and somebody made reference to this already today. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let me read from verse 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Now remember, you know, he's going to be talking about knowledge and knowledge here. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now you got to know these promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and so forth. And to godliness add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you can see how it ties it into being fruitful there. If you are fruitful, you know, it goes in with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, begin to reveal to you who he really is and so forth like that, and then you can become more and more like him. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. And there's something else that by the grace of God, if I have time, I'll bring out from this Ephesians. But let's see if I have time. From verses 11 to 13 in Ephesians chapter 4, we're told about the ministries that God, Christ gave, you know, unto the church, you know, after, you know, he resurrected and so on. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So you see how he's bringing that perfection and bringing that knowledge of the Son of God together. You know, and so on, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, some of the things that are in the stature of the fullness of Christ, we will be talking about here in just a few minutes. But it is important for us to know, because that's where we ourselves are headed. Amen. That's where we're headed. So let's look at Christ as the prophet. Now, Melchizedek was called the priest of the Most High God, but he was also a king. We already read that. He was the king of Shalom, or king of Salem. And he was, you know, by his name also, it also means king of righteousness and so on. And he was priest of the Most High God. So we see that he had a dual role there. He was priest, he was king. But I'm throwing this other one in, prophet, right there. Let's take a look at how Christ was prophet, how Christ was king, I mean a priest and king. So he has this triple crown, prophet, priest, and king. And I will say something about that in just a few minutes. But let's look at Christ as the prophet. Well, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 17 to 19, Moses tells the children of Israel that the Lord told him, Moses, that the Lord will raise up unto the people a capital P prophet like unto Moses. So he said, the Lord will raise up a prophet. And that's a capital prophet like unto me. So when Jesus came, they, you know, they used to ask even, you know, people, the disciples of John and everybody, I said, are you that prophet? Are you that prophet? There was something about that prophet. Well, the Lord called the Christ my righteous servant. He also called him the branch. And he called him the priest. We know that. We've been reading that in Hebrews here. And we know that he's also king. But we'll see. We'll give you some scriptures just so you know that all these things are so. Now, Jesus himself didn't refer to himself a lot as being a prophet, but occasionally he did. You know, he would just throw it out there. In the book of John chapter 4, verse 44, here's what he said. He said, well, you know, no prophet has, can you put up John chapter 4, verse 44? No prophet has honor in his own country. So he was talking about the reason why people didn't believe him. And he just dropped it there and said, well, no prophet has honor in his own country. So you can see that Jesus referred to himself there as a prophet, but he just dropped it, didn't linger on it too much. And we're not going to linger on it too much either. But here also in Luke chapter 13, I want to read from verses 33 to 35. Luke 13, 33 to 35. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish out of Jerusalem. Hallelujah, folks. Jesus said that himself. I don't have time to go into that, but he did refer to that. And listen to this next verse. O Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets. Now, Jesus is putting himself in that group right there. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto you. Remember how they took up stones to stone him? How often I would have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her children, but ye would not. So Jesus said, look, I'm going to do all these things, you know, because no prophet will perish out of Jerusalem. So he will go and do some things and finish some things and then go someplace else where they would crucify him. So, you know, we know that. So we see that he alluded to himself, being a prophet. Let's read this. John chapter 12 and verse 49. Well, a prophet is really like a messenger that is sent and he carries out the words of the person that sent him. You know, so I won't go too deeply into that ministry right now, but let's read this in John chapter 12 and verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. For he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. That's exactly what a prophet does. You know, a prophet speaks the word of God, what he should say and what he should speak. And a prophet brings people back to God. So Jesus, that's what exactly he came to do. He was the prophet. And he came and said, look, the kingdom of heaven is at hand and so forth. I begin to teach people. And actually, you know, people didn't even know how to call God their Father. And Jesus began to teach them. He said, look, here's how you do it. When you pray, refer to him as your Father, our Heavenly Father, and so on and so forth. Your Father which is in heaven, he will do good things for you. You are also evil, but you know how to do good things. So Jesus began to teach them, you know, in the manner that a prophet would, on the relationship of having, on how to have a relationship with God as their heavenly Father. You know, so we see that. Now, let me move on quickly. Let's look at the role of Christ as the priest. Or, more importantly, high priest. And we've been reading it throughout these Hebrews. And this text we already read shows that Christ is our high priest. But let me go back to Hebrews chapter 4 and just read two verses there, or three verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to about 16. So let's read it. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Amen. "For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy," and so forth, "and find grace to help in the time of need." So, and it goes on to describe about the priesthood of Christ, which is what we are getting into here. But I'm only touching on the edges today. It's just an introduction. So there is no question that Jesus Christ is our high priest. Listen to this. Verse 9 of Hebrews 5. "Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, that's in Psalms 110 and verse 4. Begin at Psalms 110 and verse 1. It begins to say, "The Lord," that's like Yahweh, "said to my Lord," Adonai. And he begins to say to him, you know, "Sit down on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." And he go down here to Psalms 110 verse 4. And he said, "Thou art a priest forever." Can you put Psalms 110 verse 4 up on the screen? "Thou art a priest forever. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? So it's a new order. And we're going to find out later on, you know, how that, you know, the Melchizedek order is totally different from the Aaron and Levitical order. That couldn't get the job done, and God just, they washed out. You know, so, but here's the way that God works. See, in order for God to show that we needed a Savior, he had to give us the law to make us realize that we are sinful. Amen? So that's, you know, that's it. That's it for the law. And once Christ came, that's the end of it right there. You know. Now, in order for us, I mean, for God to show, you know, there's always these comparisons that God does, you know, like the law and the bringing in of grace and so forth. And then in order to also show that, look, you can't be anything on your own. So he, you know, he gave us the first Adam. They didn't do it. Well, then he brought the second Adam to show how it really should be. Hallelujah. The same thing with the Levitical priesthood. You know, God allowed it, and they did all those things and brought sacrifice and everything every year and all that. But all of that could not change their conscience and could not even take away sin. And so God showed them that that was not going to do it. Now he's going to bring a new order, a new priesthood. Hallelujah. And this is not a priesthood that gives sacrifice for sin. We covered that already when we did chapter 4. This is a priesthood in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 that says we are called to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness unto his marvelous light. We are not, you know, we are not sacrificing for sin anymore. Jesus took care of that already. One time and for all, done and finished. Praise the Lord. But the ministry of priesthood continues forever. Because he said, "Thou art a priest forever." He never said, "Thou art a prophet to Christ forever." Oh, no. Yeah, but he said, "Thou art a priest forever." See, because, you know, prophecy, the ministry of the prophet at one point in time will end. See? And that's why the Bible says, you know, Paul, when he was talking about it, he said, look, I see through a glass darkly, I prophesy through grassly. But all of these things will end. You know, whether there be this and that, they will cease. Whether there be tongues, at some point in time, they may cease. You know, whether there be prophecy and so forth. You know, at one point in time, by the time everybody comes to the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, there'll be no need for prophet. Amen. Amen, folks. The role of the prophet is to bring us to that point. When we get to that point, prophet is gone. But the ministry of priesthood unto the Lord continues. We will always be his priests. Hallelujah. For he has made us priests and kings unto our God. I'll give you those scriptures in a minute. So we see that role of priesthood will remain. Now let me jump here and read in the book of Zechariah. Let me read from Zechariah chapter 6. I have to hurry along here for this message. Zechariah chapter 6. And I want to bring this triple crown ministry of Christ all together here now. And I will be talking about his kingship in a minute. Zechariah chapter 6, and starting from, I'll just read verses 12 and 13. Zechariah 6, verses 12 and 13. So let's see what the Lord has to say about him. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. And you can see how he wrote that capital branch. The branch. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And did Jesus not say, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? You know, this man, he will build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. Verse 13. And he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule. Now, the branch, he came like the righteous servant. He came like the servant and so forth like that. And he humbled himself, you know, took upon him the form of a servant and all that, you know, and he was in that role of the prophet. Diminished a little bit, just pointing us to the Father and so on. But he is also the one that will sit and rule. Remember, he said, he will bear the glory, verse 13, and he will sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. Now, this man is going to be both priest and king at the same time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, that was something that God did not allow in the Old Testament. Folks, I don't have time to go into all that today. But God did not allow the king to be the priest or the priest to be the king. Now, a prophet could be a priest, you know, and a king could be a prophet. We know David was a king, but he was also a prophet, you know, but and he didn't allow them to be a king, to be a priest. He kind of separated that and so forth. But this man, he brought it all together. In him will be the kingship, the priesthood, everything, all wrapped together. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, he will be a priest upon his throne. So it's like a priest sitting as a king. That's the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at his role quickly as a king. And see if we have time to throw in a few things here. Jesus King, well, one time in the book of John chapter 18, you know, he was standing before his accusers. And let's read what he said in John chapter 18 and verse 36. John 18 and verse 36. Jesus said, of course, standing before Pilate and all that, Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. Amen? Well, he's making reference to a kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then my servants would fight. Then I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So Pilate said, well, so you are talking about kingdom and so forth. Are you then a king? Praise the Lord. So Pilate asked him, are you then a king? Well, listen to the answer that Jesus said. Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. For to this end I was born. And for this cause I came into the world. That I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth will hear my voice. So Jesus, right there, he put it out. Because the man said, are you a king? And he put it right out there. That's right. He said it and he did not deny it. And he said it right there that this is the very reason for which I was born. Praise the Lord. And this is the very reason for which I came into this world. I'm going to take the kingdom back and present it to the Father. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. And the Lord has chosen that in Christ he will rule. That's right. That's where the bodily presence of God dwells. It's in that Christ. So now, let's go here and see more about his kingship. Acts chapter 2. Here is Peter on the day of Pentecost. And Peter would preach this sermon after they received that Holy Ghost, and people were saying, what's going on there, and so forth. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 29, here's what Peter said. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David. Why is he saying that? Because he quoted what David said about the Lord, where David said, you know, that thou will not keep, thou will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, David said all that scripture because David was a prophet, and he was saying all that. He said, you'll not leave your Holy One in hell and all that. So this man was bringing this thing out, making an argument here. I said, look, David was not talking about himself. Because David is both dead, and his sepulcher is here with us still today. Hallelujah. He said, but men and brethren, let me speak to you freely of David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us until this day. Therefore, David, being a prophet, in case you didn't agree that David was a prophet, David being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn by an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this beforehand, spake of the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul will not be left in hell, neither will his flesh see corruption. Now, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. How many of you can say praise the Lord? So we see that, you know, even the prophets, the apostles, and so forth, they're bringing in that God already ordained that Christ would sit forever as king. Now listen to this in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And listen to the prophecy of Christ being the king forever. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government, that's the rulership, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. And that little boy that was born, he is the mighty God. Hallelujah. He is also the everlasting Father. You can't cut him up in many pieces, folks. He's the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and so forth. So right there, the word of prophecy made him a king. Hallelujah. That was even before he came in the flesh. The word of prophecy already said it right there, that he will be a king forever. This kingdom will never end. Hallelujah. And he's going to bring it together, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. The zeal. And I got to say to you folks, the latter part of this message, if I get to it today, which will be in a few minutes, you know, is going to be about not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. I don't know if I'll get to that or not, but we see that Christ is going to be the king. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, we see that verse 11 describes Christ through verse 16 coming in power and in great glory. Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he make war. Verse 12. And he said, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Hallelujah. And he had a name written, which no man knew but himself. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture that was dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Amen. Verse 14. And the enemies which are in heaven, all the armies which are in heaven, they followed him because he is their captain. And he's the captain of the Lord's hosts. They followed him, in clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them. That's what a king does, folks. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded out the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16. He says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Folks, he did not usurp that name. The Father conferred it upon him by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. That's right. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. So we see that he shall rule forever and ever. Amen. Now let's take a few minutes and see that God intended us, you know, we just introduced briefly this triple crown ministry for Christ. God intended that for us to enter into the same ministry as Christ, because he's the firstborn among many brethren. Remember that first, before Christ could be the priest, which he is now over the house of God, he came as the prophet. He came as the prophet, servant, branch, messenger, you know, and he submitted himself to the Father, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. Now he's high priest over the house of God. And in a little bit, he's coming back as the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, so let's take it and see what we should be doing. Well, if we want to enter into the glory like Christ did, we also should follow in his footsteps. Now, God has made us also a prophet to the nations. I told Jeremiah, I've made you a prophet to the nations. God has made us a prophet to the nations. So we should be testifying of the word of the Lord and telling people that the kingdom of God is coming, Christ is coming soon, and bringing people back into reconciliation with God. That's what we should be doing now. That's our ministry. Now, remember, also, the Bible says that he has made us kings and priests. You know, because that prophet ministry will fade away. But the priesthood and the king ministry will go on forever. Now listen to this. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. I'm covering now quickly for the next few minutes that we shall be like him. That's what I'm covering now, in case you're taking notes. We shall be like him is what I'm covering now. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen, folks. Not that we shall be, we already are. Now, but it doesn't quite yet appear what we shall be. We're not quite mature just yet. We're talking about maturity. We're still like babies, some of us, but we're still walking. God is still working on us, but we're not quite right there yet. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we shall see him just like he is. How shall we be like him? Well, Romans chapter 8. Let's take a quick look at Romans chapter 8 and see why and how we shall be like him. Romans chapter 8. Let me read first from verse 17. If I can turn to it quickly here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Now, it says that if we are children, we are heirs, and that makes us heirs of God and also joint heirs with Christ. Now, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. So there is a path to glory. And Jesus said it in Luke 24. Don't you know that Christ, through these things, ought to have suffered and then enter into his glory? So we are going to go through some things and then come into the glory like Christ did. But listen to this. You know, in Romans chapter 8, the same Romans chapter 8, let's take a look at verse 29. Romans 8. And verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we see that God already predestined that the people of his kingdom, the children of God, will be conformed to the image of the Son. That's our destination, folks. Amen. If you are going somewhere, you have a destination. That is our destination. The destination which God predetermined was that we will be conformed to the image of his Son. We will be exactly like the Christ. Now, never mind if we don't look quite exactly like that yet, but we must submit unto the working of the Lord to be working in us. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. So he's the blueprint, but he's not the only, but he's the firstborn. So what happened then is those who he predestinated, them he also called. And those whom he called, them he also justified. And those whom he justified, them he also glorified. Can you say praise the Lord? You say glorified? Absolutely. John chapter 17. Here's what Jesus would say in verses 22 to 24. John 17, verses 22 to 24. And the glory, Jesus was praying just before he left. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them. Amen, folks. Oh my, that is so deep, folks. Jesus said, the glory that I have from God, I have given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23. And he said, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, even as thou hast loved me. Verse 24. Father, I will also that those whom you have given me should be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Now, how many of you know that God answered that prayer for Christ? Amen, folks? There is no prayer that Christ made that would not be answered. And this one prayer right here has been answered already. It's in the mind of Christ, and it's in the mind of God, that we are going to behold his glory, and we are going to be with him. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord for that? We will be just like him. Amen. That's what he promised, and that's exactly the way it's going to be. And here is the way he finishes it up, and let me wrap this up right here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That makes you co-kings, if you want to put it that way. If Jesus is the king, and he put you in the throne with him, then that makes you co-king. Yeah. Hallelujah. He that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Not beside my throne, but in my throne, just as I overcame and I am set down with my Father in his throne. Not next to his throne, but in his throne. And in that same throne will be everybody that overcomes. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, well, those that have followed me and believed me and so forth, they also shall, he was talking to his disciples, you know, they shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the kingdom, the children of Israel and so forth like that. Folks, we are told that we shall judge the world and we shall rule with Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. So we see that we are coming into a view just like Christ, and we will have to continue this next time on account of time. The summary of what we have shown today is that Christ came as the prophet. He came, and now he is over the house of God as the high priest, and he's coming back in his role as King of Kings. And God has invited us to come into that same kind of triple crown ministry, if you will. Right now, we are prophet, you know, speaking to the world and speaking, you know, the word of God to one another and so forth. At some point in time, we all come to the fullness of the knowledge of God. That role of prophet fades away. We continue in the ministry of priesthood, always worshiping and bringing praise to the glory of God. And then finally, when he comes to take the kingdom, the Bible says at the end, hallelujah. Hallelujah, folks. At the end, there will be a kingdom that will not be given to other people. And the people of the kingdom of God, they will rise up and they will take possession. Hallelujah. And it starts as a little thing. It starts as a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. But it goes out to fill the whole world. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's stand to our feet here this morning and let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. That was an introduction. I didn't have time to go into all of how we are going to bring that into our lives, but we are coming there. Remember, last week we said, look, let's move on from drinking milk and let's start to eat some meat and chew some bones. You know, so we're getting in there now that we're going to begin to get deeper into these things that God has for us. Praise the Lord. And finally, he that has this hope in himself purifieth himself. If you have this hope in yourself, folks, now is the time to clean house. Amen? Clean house. Get rid of anything that is unsavory and is displeasing to the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And finally, the Lord says, these things I will do. Hallelujah. That which I have spoken, I will also bring to pass. But it shall not be by power, neither yet by might, but it shall be by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Lift up your hands here this morning and let us thank him for these wonderful promises. You say, well, I don't understand it all. Don't worry about it. We'll get deeper into it later on. But what we have shown today is that there is something that Christ has gone ahead of us. He is for us entered in, and he said, we will be just like him. And all that Christ has purchased and the glory and so forth, he prayed himself that they may be with me and share my glory. And we pray, Lord Jesus, help us to understand these things. And as we look forward to beholding the glory of the Lord. Now, folks, I want to behold the glory of God, don't you? And not just in heaven. We want to behold his glory right here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And someday, by the grace of God, none of us will be able to stand here and minister when the glory of God descends. Folks, I am looking for such a day when the glory of God will be in the house. Physically, you need no cameras to capture it. And the ministers will not be able to stand because of the glory of God. Because every other ministry pales in comparison with the Holy Ghost when it comes in his glory. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen.